Walking the talk.
This is 702.
702.
24 minutes to 11 o'clock, and this is the second segment of the 10 o'clock leap. And we were chatting to Derek Hanegom a little bit earlier on, and the appetite that you showed for the discussion really shows that much needs to be done about that airline, and the progress is needed very soon. But another very interesting story that we need to look into is the fact that the President Ramaphosa extended the deployment of the South African National Defense Force troops in the DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo, to December. So South Africa's ongoing peacekeeping efforts and mission, as you would know, in the region have come under sharp criticism. A lot of people have said, do we really need to be there? Do we need to be playing this significant role? How much are we investing? Is this really worth our time? Can't other people jump in and assist? And so a lot of people have commented on this, and mainly about troops. Are they ill-equipped for the mission and living in deplorable conditions, as being reported? Well, Dean Wingren is defense and analyst and correspondent with Defense Web, and Dean joins us to give us some insights as an expert on this. Dean, thanks for your time. Welcome to 702. Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for having me.
I can just imagine, Dean, this is a very emotive issue, especially for those who are very close to the troops who are serving there, because every single day they'd want to know how they are doing. Maybe give us a bit of the lay of the land, Dean. Is it still as volatile as it was when the deployment was made?
Yes, definitely. And well, South Africa has been involved in the DRC since about 1999, so it's been about 25 years now. Firstly, under a UN mission called MINUSC, and then in about 2011, it changed to what we now know as MINUSCO. So we've got considerable experience of being in the country. And then, so we were contributing troops to the UN, one of a large number of countries providing troops to assist the DRC against the numerous rebel groups that were operating in the area. And then in 2013, the UN formed something called a Force Intervention Brigade, or FIB. And this was a special unit together with South Africa, Malawi and Tanzania. And it, in fact, was the only UN mission authorized to use force in a sort of an active role. So it wasn't peacekeeping. It was more in the line of peacemaking and to try and assist the civilians there. And immediately, the South Africans made a huge impact with that, in that the main rebel group there is called M23 and ostensibly supported by Rwanda. And South Africa had Oryx transport helicopters and the Roy Falk attack helicopter. And this was the first external mission or active missions by the Roy Falk helicopter. And after one or two attacks against the M23 rebel group, they actually pretty much called it a day, and they kind of disappeared into the background. And just shows you what an effect the South Africans and the Roy Falk attack helicopter had. The other rebel groups obviously carried on. And it was only in about 2022 that M23 really came back onto the scenes with very much technologically advanced and militarily equipped. And but unfortunately, by now, the DRC government, the Congo government, was becoming fed up with the UN that wasn't protecting the citizens and that against all the rebel groups. There were about 15,000 UN soldiers. And the East African community also had a regional force there, which the DRC also said terminated their mandate and has now brought in a SADC mission. But a lot has changed since South Africa first entered the fray 25 years ago. And the SADC mission is only with Malawi and Tanzania and South Africa. But South Africa's budget has really shrunk since those early days.
Sure.
And that has impacted on the ability of to support the troops and its equipment and maintenance and so on.
Dean, it sounds like our role is extremely significant, if not absolutely necessary. The extension, of course, of this mandate for our troops to be there, it sounds as if it is a must if any progress has to be made.
Well, there's various ways of looking at this. From the Congo point of view, yes, they need assistance in combating all these rebel groups. So hence the invitation to SADC to come and assist. But then there's the view of, you know, South Africa is the most southernmost country in the SADC region. The DRC is the most northern country in the SADC region. Only two other countries besides South Africa have heeded the call of the DRC, and not so much, you know, countries much closer there. So there's a lot of questions as to why is South Africa in the DRC? Yes, there's about $1.5 billion, I think it's $1.5 billion worth of trade going from South Africa to the DRC. But is that trade really dependent on, you know, what's happening in the eastern DRC? And or is it more from a commercial point of view that South Africa's sure. got interest there that they're trying to protect?
And I'm asking you this unfair question deliberately in my head, and I would fully understand if you are not committed to answering it at all, and I won't hold you to it because it really lives in the realm of speculation and can be substantiated. But to what extent is this mission still there, and their time there extended mainly because of some prominent individuals and politicians who stand to benefit commercially as individuals or as companies, but not generally to the benefit of South Africa?
Yeah, remind me to thank you later for this question. it's a rather sensitive one in that there are a lot of rumors of politicians, people within government, of having interests in the eastern DRC. It's very rich in minerals over there, copper and some other minerals. It's the biggest, one of the biggest exports from the DRC and also to South Africa. So although I've, you know, there's nothing in paper
sure.
that you can say, but yeah. Yes, those rumors are certainly floating around. And then we've got Mozambique, which is right next door to us.
Yeah.
It's bordering South Africa. The Islamic State affiliated groups are increasing their activities in Cabo Delgado and that area. South Africa's got strong commercial ties and dependencies on the oil and gas operations in that area, as well as close other commercial ties between Mozambique and South Africa. And South Africa has just pulled out of the Mozambican peacekeeping mission.
That is somehow suspect.
Why? That's right. And one wonders why something so close to South Africa, which has got obvious benefits to South Africa, and it's so close that the logistics of going the 2,000-3,000 kilometers to the DRC is, with South Africa's depleted defense budget, puts a real strain on South Africa.
Sure. It's 15 minutes to 11 o'clock. My guest is Dean Wingren, who is defense analyst and correspondent with Defense Web. And we are chatting about the defense force troops in Democratic Republic of Congo, our troops in Congo. And we know that the ongoing peacekeeping efforts in the region have come under serious scrutiny and sharp criticism that local troops are ill-equipped for the mission and living in deplorable conditions. And it's also been said, well, it's been reported that the president, President Ramaphosa, extended the deployment of our troops in that country. Feel free to join in the discussion, 011-883-0702, 011-883-0702. Kwaketsu, you've been holding for a little while. Welcome. You're calling from Joburg. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Kate. I just wanted to ask the defense analyst as to, you know, what does he think, in his opinion, are the external forces, the multinationals, that are playing a role in equipping these people? Because it can't be that, you know, these guys have the latest technology in terms of fighting, planes, weapons, you know, they put up there. Who's funding all of this, you know? And to what end? Because, you know, the little bit of reading up about the DRC, the mineral. So in the East region, you have many mines owned by the Chinese, the Americans, the Europeans, the multinationals. So, you know, what does he think in terms of, you know, fueling that ongoing instability? Because the DRC has just never known instability. And who's benefiting from that? And also, I want to hear from him about the regional players. So, for instance, the big strong men of Africa, Kagame and Museveni, the people who've been in power for a long time, how are they contributing to that instability that's happening in the DRC? Because they're the neighbors.
Okay, so thanks very much for those. Yeah, thanks very much for those questions. I think we got the gist of it, even though we lost you intermittently. But I think putting it together, the thought process is very clear. Dean?
Yes, thanks. Very, very good question, that. And as you correctly point out, minerals plays a big angle in the Eastern DRC, as the minerals throughout Africa. And so that's the one leg that is, I think, pushing and supplying the funding for the various groupings and countries there, you know, to get in on the mines. The other one is also back to good old politics, in that it also goes back to, just last week, we commemorated the 50th anniversary of the Rwandan genocide. And that was when, you know, the minority Tutsis, the minority Hutus, you know, committed genocide against the Tutsis within Rwanda. And with the cessation of the genocide and Rwanda coming out of that, you know, a lot of those Hutus then fled to the DRC. And, of course, there's a large local Huti population as well. And a lot of those are now assimilated into the Congolese army as well. So you've still – so that's why we say as well that the M23 rebel group is supported by Rwanda and the Tutsis, and it just plays back to, you know, to those tribal affiliations. Those are, I think, pretty much the two legs that is fueling the crisis there.
Now,
of course, it's not just Rwanda that's active in there. The poor DRC has a multitude of neighbours that's going on there. Rwanda not only supports M23, there's the Democratic Forces for the Liberation of Rwanda active in that area. Uganda appears to support the allied Democratic Forces within the DRC. There's Uganda, who support the Lord's Resistance Army. Even Burundi is in on there with supporting a group called the National Liberation Forces.
Yes.
So
yes.
There's this multitude of quagmire of all these troops. And that's why, you know, I say that this isn't a military solution that can assist and sort out the problems in DRC. It definitely requires a political solution.
Certainly.
To assist and help there.
Dean, let's hang 10 for a while, and we'll come back to this issue too. So I'm going to take your call after this. It's 10 minutes to 11 o'clock. You're on 702.
702 Podcast.
On PrimeMediaPlus.com.
011-883-0702. We're discussing SANDF deployment in the DRC. What have they achieved thus far? And are they really worth our time? Is this mission really worth our time? Or are we just defending interests of individuals? 7 minutes to 11 o'clock. 011-883-0702. Tuso, you are in Joburg. Thanks for hanging on.
Thank you for the good shows. I want to ask it to your analyst here. My question is, we have had previous missions to the DRC by certain countries. Why is it that the expertise and experience from previous operations is not used? Because those people are more or less familiar with those terrains, number one. Number two, if DRC is prepared to take what you call these M23 to fight them out,
yeah.
Why can't they go for broke and bring in organizations like Wagner, whom they can pay to fight once and for all, and they have a settlement? Because it sounds, you know, I don't know how to say it, but for the fact that countries that have been there before, like Namibia and Zimbabwe, were left out of that mission, we have had serious operations before military ones. I fail to understand why is it that SADC is kind of such a lethargical and boring approach, because it won't bring anything. Because those guys going there now,
yeah,
are not familiar.
Well,
thank you.
That would come with some serious implications, but I'm not a defense analyst. Dean is, and I'm sure he's keen to respond to you. Dean?
Thanks very much for the question. Well, of course, you cannot force any country to go assist another country, put your troops in danger. So, you know, if a country requests assistance, you know, it's for the other countries to voluntarily stick up their hand and say, yes, we're willing to assist or not. And in this case, after the DRC kicked out the UN, kicked out the East African Regional Community Force, and they are SADC, and of course South Africa, and put up its hand and said, yes, we will assist. But there are stories of the DRC bringing in private contractors and so on. The caller mentioned Wagner, and there have been rumors of Wagner-type PMCs, or private military contractors, in the DRC supporting the Congolese government. These are ex-Wagner people, and I'm sure there's others there as well that are supporting. But just to show you the difficulty of this, the UN had about 15,000 troops trying to contain the rebel groups. The East African Community Force had about 12,000. SADC is now coming with a maximum of about 5,000 troops, and of which 2,900 are South African. So if these far larger forces couldn't contain the rebel groups, I'm having difficulty understanding how a much smaller static force will be making much of a difference. Hence, there should be a political solution to this. But if you don't mind, I just want to quickly go back to an earlier question don't think I've properly answered, and that is the support to the South African troops.
Yeah.
Okay, and that is, when the troops operated under the UN mandate, the UN paid South Africa to be there. So they would pay for the troops and the clothing and so on for the troops, for the equipment we had there, the armored personnel carriers, the Royal Falcon Oryx helicopters and so on. They would pay for the use of that equipment. As long as that equipment was maintained and in operational order and was used for the mission, the UN would refund South Africa. So although we were incurring a very high cost to be there, roughly three quarters of that would have been refunded back to South Africa. Now, the South African budget has been decreasing and decreasing and decreasing in real terms over the last couple of years, placing a huge strain on our military. Now, when President Ramaphosa announced the new SADC mission, 2,900 troops, 2.4 billion rand, there's no refund coming from anybody for that. SADC cannot afford to refund South Africa.
The president said that this money will not come from South Africa's budget for maintenance and support.
Yeah.
Treasury will supply the money.
Dean, unfortunately, we have to leave it at that. It's getting more interesting, and purely because of time, nothing else. Really appreciate it. Let's revisit this topic very soon. Really appreciate your time, Dean Wingren, defense analyst and correspondent for Defense Web. 2 minutes to 11.